You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business automation, where we focus on turning digital marketing professionals into automation service providers. And in this episode, I want to shed light on what success looks like when it comes to building automated systems. And I say that because there's a lot of people who are enamored with the idea of building automated systems, more than the actual work required. So I want to talk about the not so sexy part of successful automation building. And I'll mention some of the sexy in there just for you all. But before we get started, if you're new to the podcast, here's what I need you to do. I need you to buckle up and take this first ride and listen to this episode in its entirety before you leave your 5-star rating and review. For those of you who are listeners and have not left a 5-star rating and review, please do so. We're in all of the main podcasting outlets, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe on YouTube. Your 5-star ratings and reviews are not only greatly appreciated, but they help us inform Apple Podcasts and all of these other platforms that this is a solid, beyond solid, this is a great, invaluable podcast worth them promoting and placing in front of people so that people can learn these tips, tricks, strategies, the hurdles, roadblocks, how to be successful in this industry, because there's just not enough information shedding light at the amount of luminosity. How about that? They don't have as many lumens as I have on this All Systems Go podcast. So make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review and help me get the word out. All right. So today's episode, it's not all about the sexy. Okay. Have you heard that term before? Success isn't sexy. Well, the same is true for automation. And I used to in my younger years, as in my, you know, less professional days, less seasoned time, I used to be attracted to the sexy. All right. And it worked. It worked with my wife. You know, that worked out really well. You know, my kids are proof of that. Right. But not so much in my career. Right. And it's natural. It's natural, right? The attraction to building out automated workflows, all of the arrows, colorful boxes, tags, emails, if-else statements, third-party integrations, you know, it's nerd heaven, honestly, for those who really like to geek out over that stuff. And when I look back, you know, in my early career, I just would imagine like, wow, if I could get paid just to do that, wow, that would be amazing. Right. And as amazing as it still is, I've learned that there's so much more involved. Right. There's so much more to where you can truly enjoy the sexy elements of it. And if you just skip over the non-sexy to get to the sexy, you're left with you're not left with, if I were liken it to real life, you're not left with the real person. You're left with the blow up doll. Right. It looks good with the lights on and from a distance. And the second you start getting closer and start seeing more, you're like, wait a minute, this isn't real. And that's what I want to prevent. That's what I want to prevent from happening, because all of this stuff, this nerd heaven that I talked about with the flow charts and arrows and all of these tools. Ooh, look, I can do this in Entreport. Look, it's so colorful. And ooh, tags and groups and ooh, landing pages. Right. That's really just the beginning. There's so much more involved with being successful. And I didn't realize it until I had generated millions of dollars with the systems I had built and coached hundreds, if not thousands, you know, honestly, of businesses on how to leverage automation properly, is where I found myself. I kept going back to the unsexy work, right? Like even people would come to me for the sexy. They'd be like, hey, can you help me build this automation? It needs to do this, this, and that. And in my younger years, I would just blindly say yes. I would just say, yeah, I could do that, and then start working. I would never do that now. I would never do that now, but I was so anxious, so excited, you know, to get in the tools and start playing around technically, right? And that's why I'm so particular with the marketing professionals I share my framework with. You know, I know it's not the shiny bells and whistles that everybody else is selling, but it works more than what they're selling. And it's not for everybody because everybody's not committed to do the unsexy, right? But this, the same framework will produce more profit than some of those people spouting what they're doing. And look at this, download this and buy this, and within 10 days, you'll have this, right? My frameworks produce way more profits than they could ever hope for businesses larger than they've ever worked with, right? So I'm not speaking, and I never do, but I think this is a good reminder. I'm not speaking from the theoretical, okay? I'm not in some bunker somewhere drawing up the strategy for the foot soldiers to go out and execute. I'm on the field reporting back, right? I take my shirt off. You can see all of my marketing battle wounds on my back and my chest. And it's just like, wow, how are you still here? Right? I'm speaking from experience here. And I want you all to get it. That's the inflection and passion that you hear a lot of times, is that I need you. It goes beyond a want. I need you to get it if you're going to be successful in this industry. Okay. The process isn't sexy, and it takes a mature mind and a willingness to follow outside of what the market is doing and or teaching. Okay. So let's talk about some of the unsexy, because we've heard it, but what does it look like in this industry, marketing automation? First, let's start with planning. So, whoa, hold on. Wait a minute. I just said planning and somebody cringed. They were like, oh, planning, you know, and let me be honest. I used to hate this process because I just wanted to jump in the tool and start building. I just wanted to say, hey, what do you need? Got it. I'm off. Right. Can you believe it? I let the business owner tell me what needs to be done. Do you tell a doctor what needs to be fixed? Do you tell a CPA how to do your taxes? Then how can you tell me, as the one responsible for building out your automated marketing, what to do? The only way you can do that is if I'm not confident in myself. So I used to hate the process of planning first. Don't do it. Do not hate this process. What I mentioned in my prior podcast was, because planning is required, there's no way around it. The key is to get faster at planning, not skipping it altogether. But if you don't have a plan, I'm not even talking about like blueprints, flow charts and all of that stuff yet. I'm not even talking about that yet. I'm talking about a focused plan of action where you understand what the business needs are, a realistic schedule. This is your proposal phase. You're aware of the human resources required, right? You're assessing and plan. You're thinking realistically, accurately to what it's going to take to do this. Because when you skip this, it hurts you on the back end when I get to the next unsexy parts. Okay. So get faster at planning. Don't skip it. I don't know what I enjoy more now, which is crazy. I'm like, who are you? There are times where I just truly enjoy the planning process and would rather just be done with the plan. There are times where that's the case. Can you believe that? If not, I guess I may have just exposed you to something about me that you didn't know. But it's because I've learned how valuable it is. All right. The second is mapping things out. Now, I say that because my nerds listening, they're like, oh, well, that's the sexy part. I love doing that. Well, let me finish. Okay. It may be appealing and fun in the beginning, especially, you know, after producing your first marketing map or flow chart, you like to play around. Let me talk about me. I like to play around with different line widths, colors. Should I use a dotted line or a solid line here? For the arrow, should it be a hard elbow or more curved? Should I use this color? Right. That is fun. I'm not going to lie to you. In the beginning. But to continually map things out before building on an ongoing basis, it can get tiresome. Because here's what you really want to do. Once you've done it right the first time, you have something built and it's in place, and you just need to make a minor edit. It's easy to fall into the trap of saying, oh, let me just jump in here real quick and just update it. It's small, right? Let me just do this real quick. That's what we tell ourselves. That is the story that we tell ourselves. And guess what? The truth is, it is easy. It is easy to do that. But doing that also makes it easy to make it hard to follow. Right? And now what you've mapped out outside of the tool no longer is a mirror image of what's happening in the tool. And you do that enough times, you can't follow it. And when it's time to train someone, they can't follow it. And there will be a time where you need to recall quickly what's going on, whether something's broke, there's a new opportunity, whatever the case may be. You're looking at your documentation and you're looking at what's built and you're like, oh, we've got to figure out what's going on here. So that time, that little bit of time that you said, oh, let me just jump in, make this quick edit. You saved yourself maybe 2 to 3 minutes, but those 2 to 3 minutes aren't saved. They're delayed. So you do that 10, 20 times, you have delayed 30 to 60 minutes required to do it right. And you're going to pay for that on the back end. When you really need to understand what you're doing, in that 30 minutes, those 10 to 20 edits adds up to 30 to 60 minutes. It's going to take an hour to sit down and figure out what you've done. You won't do it. And now we get to the Frankenstein systems, where you're just bolting on solutions and duct taping everything together. And this is where the automation ambulance comes in. Okay. All this stuff ties together, you all. It all ties together. All right. So it's not just mapping things out for now, but mapping things out continually. It takes a disciplined mind and effort to do this. All right. Next, right along with mapping is documentation. And this usually ranges from, you know, having SOPs in place for everything that you're doing to having operating manuals, training guides, you know, things of that nature. That's the regular documentation that most people know of, but also in automation documentation, right? Every platform that I've ever recommended to use, not the ones that I know how to use, but the ones that I've recommended to use, they all have some ability to add notes to the automation canvas. And, you know, the top three for small business automation, Infusionsoft, Entreport, ActiveCampaign, they all allow you to do that. So I'm not just talking about documentation in terms of, you know, like documents outside of the platform and all that. What about inside of the platform? That wait state, did you document why you chose 3 days instead of five? That tag, did you say what it does? Right? That email, do you have a description of what's in the email so somebody doesn't have to open it up to read the content? Are you documenting your automations? Right? And even besides beyond that, there's, if you start paying attention within these tools, because a lot of them, they're getting smarter, but a lot of them allow you this type of organization features. Documentation could also be as simple as having a naming convention for the labels and folders that you use to group your elements, right? Whether it's a landing page software or anything else, you could start grouping them with labels and tags and all of that. Where's that documentation, right? If you are using labels and tags, do you have that documented somewhere else? Like this label means this, this label means that, right? And bonus here, if all of your emails, exist in documents outside of your CRM. I just said that, and let me see. What am I feeling? 76.2% of you cringed because you write all. Nope, it just went up. 88.1% of you are writing your. Dang, one more time. 93% of you are writing all of your email content directly in your CRM. And the percentage is going up the more that I say this. You think of an email, you jump in your CRM and you draft the email, and that email exists only in your CRM. There's no document that you wrote the email in prior and then copy and pasted it into your CRM. That's documentation. But again, it's an extra step. But we're only talking about like 5 minutes, right? So you're writing the email anyway. Write it in a document where you can, you know, maybe you need to collaborate with people on your team, get together, proofread, whatever the case is. Copying and pasting that into your CRM takes practically no time. But it is an extra step to write the email outside. But now, guess what? What if I wanted to leverage the copy in that email somewhere else? What if I wanted to take a sentence out of that and make it into a headline on a landing page? If I have to log into my CRM and try to find it, chances that I'll do it are slim. Very slim. Okay. So last one, I want to be mindful of the time here. You know, I listen, I can go on for days. Trust me. I've done a whole lot of unsexy in my career. Okay. It is why I am who I am and where I am, where I am. And lastly is perhaps the most important and dreaded, you know, part of the unsexy. And that is, this is what people struggle with. I'm going to say this and everybody's going to be like, yep, I know. But most people struggle with how to properly position themselves and sell their services. Okay. That takes time. A lot of people in entrepreneurship, just in general, shy away from sales. Sales can be very hard for a very good amount of people. All right. I have struggled with sales in the past. Now I look forward to it because I understand the role of marketing. I'm so focused on my marketing to qualify and deliver me qualified leads that there is the weight when it comes to selling. It's not there. And most of the times you all are experiencing weight from selling your services because you're not confident the person that you're selling to is the right, is a highly qualified lead. So there is weight to that. But then there's this element of understanding positioning, understanding persuasion, understanding the laws of influence, psychological triggers. You really have to know that stuff in order to sell your services consistently and to understand how to position yourself in the market. There's all kind of positioning tactics so that when it comes time to sell, instead of you asking somebody for their money, they're asking you to accept them to give you their money. It's all in positioning. But most folks, they default to offering lower priced, thinking it will do all the heavy lifting for them, and it won't. What it does when you don't do the work to understand how to sell, let me be specific, how to package and sell automation services. All right. When you don't do that work, what you're going to do is default to just a lower price and it sells you short. And you'll more than likely end up over delivering for a client who turns into a client from hell. Their requests increase and the amount that they're paying you is static. And a lot of times these are actually friends. I meet consultants all the time and they're like, well, I've grandfathered in this. That's the language they use. I've grandfathered in a few clients and I've been working with them for a few years and they're friends paying them like $300 a month. And they don't know how to break free from it because they skip the step of learning how to position themselves in the market in a strong position and how to sell the services so they weren't shortchanging themselves. But that, listen, that's in a separate episode in its entirety. Like on its own, I could talk about just pricing, the approach to pricing your services as an automation service provider. It's different. It is totally different because you're not going to just go to somebody's website and be like, oh, they're charging $1,500. That's what I'll do. Mm-mm. The tools you use are different. Your framework is different. Your approach, the deliverable, the transformation, all of that is different. There's some keys. There's some, rules of thumbs to follow. But again, that's a separate episode, everybody. Episode. I keep calling these episodes. So, planning, mapping, documentation, pricing. These are all things that are required when you say, look, I'm an automation service provider. I geek out over marketing automation. This is what I do for a living. We offer this service at our agency. You have to be great at just the four things, and there's more. Okay. These are just a few areas that done consistently will set you apart both in position and in profit. They're all required to be successful. So when you're not as mature and focused in your career, you focus on the tools, the fancy automation, the cheap training and marketing, right? Oh, for $40 a month, I can get access to this big library of marketing training. You'll amass a wealth of general information that's sexy. Not successful, though. Because the mature marketer, they move past that and they focus and value on the things that I've listed. And they move beyond the beauty and focus on the brains. Listen, I love, like capital L-O-V, I love this industry. Wouldn't want it any other way. I'm right where I need to be when I need to be there. But it's hard work. Sometimes you're 12 to 18 months away from success or longer. Many times it's much shorter. But either way, to ensure you're on the shortest path, you have to embrace the not popular and unsexy parts, right? You can't skip steps. The work required before you can start building out those amazing automations is oftentimes it's just not sexy. It's not what you think you signed up for. It's not. And because a lot of you are thinking like that, you refuse to do it. You can't afford to operate like that. Because doing the unsexy is where the success lies. And we hear the statement again. I said it at the top. We hear it a lot. I just wanted to take some time and unpack what unsexy is for marketing automation. Right? So you have a clear understanding of exactly what I'm talking about when I use that term. So can we nerd out? Can we nerd out for a second? We've taken a while and I don't want to beat you down. Some of you didn't get beat down by this, though. Some of you are like, yes, you're right. I knew it. Right. There are some of you that were like, amen, high five. Maybe you had to pull over for a second. Like, man, or you're glad you're at a stoplight right now. Like, whoo, let me just clap. Just take my hands off the wheel and clap real quick. Let me get off the treadmill and just, man, that was good. That's for some of you. So if you like that, you're going to really, you may need to take a break. If you're lifting heavy weights right now or running extremely fast, maybe this is a time to take a break because we're going to nerd out just briefly. I promise you're going to nerd out for a second. But let me add my disclaimer. This is for successful marketers only, or those who commit to do the unsexy from this day forward. Okay. Do you not love great software? Am I the only one that just really gets excited when you come across a piece of really good software, marketing software? It does something to you, right? Even more when you can get it to integrate and play nicely with your other tools. I just feel like I have to tell somebody. Do you get like that? Like, you're like, oh my gosh, this platform integrates natively with my CRM, even beyond the list and the tag level. I'll tell you, let me share. Jotform surprised me maybe 6 or 7 months ago. It may have been a year. Time is going by so fast. But for ages, Jotform never integrated natively with ActiveCampaign. And I logged into Jotform at this time. I was helping a client out with Infusionsoft. And I realized, I said, whoa, Jotform integrates with Infusionsoft at a really deep level. Like, it was really good. Now, it was limited by how Infusionsoft handles data, like stores custom field data and all of that. So that limitation, I don't knock Jotform for, but it was a really strong native integration. So I was excited a little bit, but since I don't use Infusionsoft, my excitement was capped. But when I went back and realized, I was like, well, if it does it for Infusionsoft, I wonder if it has ActiveCampaign in there yet. And it did. And I'm talking about this Jotform integration can add contacts to automation. It can tag them, add them to a list. It can add a deal. It was a full-fledged integration. And I was excited. I told you we're going to nerd out. So I was so excited. I just like had to tell somebody. And I'm looking around. So I just went into my community. It was like, hey, have you guys seen this in Jotform? Right. Sometimes if I'm not next to an electronic device, I'll tell my wife and she's like, oh, OK. Yeah, because she loves me. She supports me with the head nod and the agreement. But I know it doesn't make sense, you know, but that's and then when you get excited about it, do you not just want to use it? I found myself just thinking, what kind of forms can I build now? Right. What can I do? What kind of forms do I need to build that I haven't built because it didn't integrate? That's what happens when you get great software and it integrates nicely with your tools. What about these things? Again, nerd alert. What about dynamically changing the text on a web page and or landing page? Right. Contextual call to actions we talked about in a couple episodes back. And what about changing contextual call to actions that change automatically? Right. Having a area, it's almost like an ad display. If, for those of you that don't know, when you're on like these news sites and all of that and you see those ads, they're always dynamic. That place, the place on the website is the same. But what you see within that frame is changing and it's changing based on your browser behavior. What if you could have areas on your website that do that? I'm not saying what if like it's not possible. It is possible. I'm just saying, you know, like things like that. Sexy. Right. Creating a form with conditional logic that makes it conversational, not just name, email, but like they put in a certain value and it's like, oh, great. Well, this is what we think is good for you. Answer these few questions. And it's like a choose your own adventure type form. Right. Sexy stuff. Building a landing page and that. Have you ever done that? I'm laughing at myself because I do it all the time. But you built a landing page that even you like to look at. So you visited on multiple devices. I'm guilty of even pulling my landing pages up in Best Buy and like stores that have internet. That's me. I'm one of those people. I will pull it up and conveniently leave it up. Right. Not to say that I'm banking on it generating quality leads. It's just like, hey, look at what I did. Call it whatever you want to call it. That's me. I do those things. But some people, I mean, let's be honest. Some people have a landing page they don't like looking at and they just cross their fingers hoping that it converts leads. And then you have people that don't even know what a beautiful landing page looks like. Right? What about having a dynamic automation sequence built out that allows every customer to progress at their own pace? Some people go through the whole flow in one day. Some people in 1 week. Some people in 1 month. Right. But it's dynamic. Right. Sexy. Taking information captured on your website and storing it into something like an Airtable database where you can easily display it differently and see trends and patterns. Right. Tangent on Airtable. I thought I was a heavy user of Airtable until I found other people and how they're using it in ways that I couldn't wrap my head around. But do any of you just in your spare time when you're away from the computer, just think about different ways you could use tools Do any of you ever, you're sitting, maybe watching a show, watching sports, doing something that you actually enjoy, and you get a random idea of, oh, I wonder if we could try, if this will work in that platform, right? And worse, if you're out away from your computer and you can't immediately act on it, you're like, oh my gosh, when is this over? Can we get home? Right? But I could go on and on with all of these things. This is why this industry is so exciting, especially if you're the type that really gets going with this stuff. Right? Nothing like it. Nothing like it. But as exciting as it is, we all have to commit to do it all, not just the sexy, but finding joy in the unsexy, because that's where the success is. Okay. So who is that person that needed to hear today? Who is the all beauty, no brains person? I'm saying, don't you say that to them. I'm just saying the person that, you know, just loves the new tools, loves to show off what they're doing, but they're not everything else that I listed. You know that they're not doing the planning. You look into their, you can look at their automation and you see there's no notes on that. CEO Checkpoint, if you can log into your automation platform right now and pull up an automation and your marketer doesn't have any notes, any documentation on that canvas, shame on them. Shame on them. And you may need to probe a little deeper and make sure that they're doing what they need to do. Okay. But who's that person that needs to hear this? I would assess that every CEO that does not handle their marketing, you need to send your marketer to this episode. In fact, you need to make sure your marketer is subscribed to the podcast. It's gonna protect your money. This is insurance for you. For those of you who are builders and aspiring automation service providers, who is that friend? Who is that business buddy that needs to hear this? Okay, if you found value in today's episode, now is the time that you leave the 5-star rating and review for first time listeners. And also, if you've been listening for a while and just, I don't know, been waiting for maybe a stronger call to action, here's your time. Go right now, close out this app. It will still play in the background. If you're on a smartphone, if you're on any device, the podcast will always play in the background, and go leave the 5-star rating and review. Now is the time. Let me ask you a question. Did you get a little bit more excited than maybe you thought you would when I was starting to list all of these things about the sexy part, right? And you weren't turned off about the non-sexy part? If so, if you started kind of like, whoo, you know, and your mind is still going, even if you're like, let me check out those tools, you're showing signs that you would make a great automation service provider. Automation service providers embody this entire episode. They commit to the unsexy to get to the sexy. They are responsible for implementing automated systems for businesses, and they don't take it lightly. Here at Automation Bridge, we're dedicated to training digital marketing professionals to become those automation service providers. Businesses are in need. Strong. The need is growing by the day. Every episode I record, I'm like, ooh, the need is even bigger now, right? They need marketers with the ability to learn marketing and technology collectively for deploying automated systems for rapid growth. Now, I'm in the process right now at the time of this recording to running a workshop. By the time you hear it, you can get on the wait list. I'll say that because I mentioned it in a previous episode. The time to act was then, but you can still jump on the wait list so that you don't miss the next workshop that we run, where we take these digital marketing professionals live in a private, exclusive capacity. And it's not like boot camp, but it's intense trainings to get you prepared, to get you prepared to see if you will be qualified to become an automation service provider. Okay. And that you can access that at automationbridge.com/workshop. Again, if you get there and we've closed the doors, make sure you jump on the wait list. It's important. Put you at the front of the line for the next cohort. Okay, you're going to want to learn this stuff. This, believe it or not, everything that I listed here, as deep as it may have been for some of you, you know how they say it's just touching the surface? We didn't even touch the surface. You're just looking at the surface. There's so much more. Okay. And if you want to jump right in and just get going, you're like, Chris, I may have missed a workshop. I'm on the wait list, but I want to get started right now. Like, how do I take the next steps? Well, I'm glad you asked. Okay. You can go to automationbridge.com/ASP for automation service provider. Automationbridge.com/ASP to take the next steps to talk to someone, either myself or someone on my team to assess if you'd be a good fit for the community. You know, if you can just get in here and get going on this stuff. You know, the time is now, the need is great. You know this. And I'm building a force. I'm building a army of well-equipped automation service providers. So, you CEOs out there, some aspiring CEOs, I got you. I'm on the job. I'm working hard. Send your marketers, send your marketing friends. Hey, we need as many hands as possible to get this framework, to get this training, to understand what it takes to truly be successful. All the show notes and podcasts are accessible at automationbridge.com/podcast. You can subscribe there and listen to all the previous episodes at your leisure. Okay, they're all there. So until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.